Welcome, everyone. Welcome to HomeKit Insider, the new Apple Insider podcast all about Apple's smart home platform. I am Andrew O'Hara, joined with my good friend, Stephen Robles.
I'm excited to talk about HomeKit again this week. Let's do it.
We're going to do it again. And this has actually been a big week. Before we even get into like the HomeKit news, we're official. Like, this podcast is out there.
That's right.
We have had a ton of, you know, listens and downloads on our first two episodes that have already, you know, hit the streams. This is exciting. We are finally actually, you know, published, and we can actually talk about this rather than just alluding to it on social media.
That's right. And there's been some awesome engagement on Twitter and in comments. So thank you all for doing that. Those of you who left 5-star reviews, we got a number of those as well. So keep tweeting at us your questions, comments. If you have some projects going on, let us know. Or again, your questions about, you know, what cameras, what light switches. We have some listener questions we're going to be talking about today too. But remember to use that hashtag HomeKitInsider. Andrew and I will be checking those regularly.
Absolutely. We've gotten so many questions already, and I really like seeing the reviews come in. So that's really great. Whether you leave just leave us a 5-star review, or you actually go and write out a written review on like Apple Podcasts, it's great. Thank you to everyone who has done that. Let's go ahead and start off with some HomeKit news from the week. The first one's probably the new Eve camera announcement, right?
That's right. The next big HomeKit secure video. Is that the technical term?
Yeah, HomeKit Secure Video, HSV, as it usually gets abbreviated, because that's a lot of words to type out.
Right.
10 times in a news piece.
For sure.
Eve Cam, we've talked about it quite a bit, actually, because it's very similar to the Logitech Circle View that we talked about in an earlier episode of the show. And now the Eve Cam, it was announced at CES, and we've been waiting for this guy to hit store shelves, where you can pre-order it right now, and it starts shipping on June 23rd. So at launch, it's going to be just available through Eve's website. And then following that, it's going to be available through Apple and on Amazon sometime in July, hopefully early July. Finally going to be available, I believe, like $149 around that price point.
And now this is an indoor camera only, is that correct?
Yeah, this is an indoor camera. I know the Circle View is technically like an indoor-outdoor camera because it's water-resistant. This one, I believe, is just solely for indoor use.
Well, there'll be a link to show notes in that. Definitely check it out. So the Eve Cam, available for pre-order now. Is this the second or third camera to use HomeKit Secure Video? I know you have the Logitech. There was that Netatmo.
Netatmo does it.
Right.
There's a couple of them out there. The original Logitechs still support HomeKit Secure Video.
That's right.
And there's a couple of them that have been kind of announced. We talked about like the Aquara one. Last week that should be launching soon.
Still saying both pronunciations every time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go with both. Cover all my bases.
Yeah.
I'm also going to start saying Aquara just to add another one into the list.
That's good.
But then we also have the new one. Eufy Anker was actually talking about their implementation of HomeKit Secure Video on their upcoming cameras.
Right. So the Eufy, unfortunately, they said that they are delaying the product because they're trying to get that HomeKit Secure Video, the certification process. It's, you know, they were going to launch it without it, maybe add it, but a new certification process. So that seemed like they just kind of reset. They're holding, trying to launch with that HomeKit Secure Video. They're looking at hopefully mid-July. We might see this coming out. Again, no guarantees there. So hopefully we'll get another HomeKit Secure Video camera over this summer, a couple more.
Yeah, they've been good about adding HomeKit to their wireless cameras, just regular HomeKit. So I'm sure this is coming down the line, and the actual cameras are available to order. So if you just want to pick up a Eufy camera and then hold out, that's fine. They've really been good about adding it in the past. I've got a couple here that we've tested, so I'm sure this will be coming along very shortly. And I'm glad they kind of held off to put in full HomeKit Secure Video instead of just HomeKit. I think that really helps, especially when you have competitors like Eve Cam coming out that are exclusively supporting HomeKit Secure Video, really setting the bar for these other companies.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to something more about that distinction between HomeKit Secure Video and just regular HomeKit support in a camera, because we had a listener question asking about the Arlo camera. So come back. That'll be towards the end of the show when we do some listener questions there. But also tell me about the One Home platform that also seems to be coming out that integrates with the KNX platform.
Yeah, man. Okay. So this has been a long time coming. I kind of met up with these guys and talked with them a bunch. It's probably been at least like a year or something. I know they've been working on this for a really long time. But essentially what we're looking at here, it's a bridge that's integrating the KNX platform with HomeKit. I know a lot of people aren't probably not familiar with KNX, and it's honestly not going to be for everyone. But for anyone who is like looking at building a home and they're thinking about right from the beginning, they want to be able to add some sort of smart home functionality. KNX has been around for a long, long time. Right now, there are over 500 manufacturers all using the same KNX spec. And there are over like 12,000 some KNX devices already on the market. So it's a robust market with just a ton of options out there between, you know, smart outlets and
switches,
you know, like different controllers and switches and lights and just a ridiculous amount of things. There's so many manufacturers, so many devices, it's impressive. And now with this simple bridge from a company called One Home, with this bridge install, you instantly have HomeKit functionality to all of those devices. It's KNX certified. It is HomeKit certified. It's pretty much just plug and play and boom, there you go. You can have a house that's 20 years old with a KNX setup in there. Everything is still the same. Everything is still working. Add this bridge and you have an entire HomeKit enabled house. And I think that is just absolutely incredible. And I'm thinking about, you know, what we know about like the HomeKit certification process and the fact that, you know, you have to test how everything works. And with a bridge, you got to test how everything works with, you know, all those different devices, you know, switches and plugs and outlets and just everything under the sun. And I know that that's probably what, you know, took so long to get this thing out the door. But I'm really excited to see a platform as ingrained and as robust as KNX, just with the simple bridge being able to add it into HomeKit. So the One Home Bridge is finally launching. It's been announced for a while now. HomeKit certification is done and it is started shipping or it's available now. Starting on June 6th, so a few days before this podcast will air, it is available. So if anyone has a KNX home or you're looking at, you know, building a home or you're in construction or something and you want to, you know, wire everything up from the beginning, this is a great idea because it really is just built in from the beginning of your house. It's so reliable and gives you that hardwired option. It's really cool. I'm very excited about it and we're definitely going to be talking about that more as stuff like that starts to expand.
Now this thing looks like a beast. This One Home Bridge, it's fairly large, you know, it's really like industrial level stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it seems there's pricing on their website. It's in euros, so I'm not sure what the American pricing is, but they have €699, it seems like, for the One Home Bridge.
Yeah, according to the Googles, that is $780 in US monies.
That's right. USD.
According to the Googles.
Yeah, but there's links in show notes to the One Home platform. You can check that out. And also links to the other news. We just talked about the Eve Cam and the Eufy, as long as all the products we're about to talk about, too.
Our sponsor for this video is Vocalink. Vocalink has an ever-expanding lineup of great HomeKit accessories for all areas of your smart home. There are products for your well-being, such as the Flower Bud, which is an oil diffuser and a humidifier all in one. Then there's security devices, such as the T-Guard Smart Lock, to protect your home. Lighting products, such as light strips, smart bulbs, and smart plugs for all other accessories. And almost everything works over Wi-Fi, so you don't have to be within Bluetooth range just to control them. We've been long-time users of Vocalink's gear. Personally, I use the Vocalink light strip in my bathroom. It's an under-counter light, and I tie it to a HomeKit motion sensor. Then, whenever we walk into the bathroom at different times of the day, it'll go ahead and turn on to different degrees of brightness and warmth. And the Flower Bud was great for our bedroom during our very dry winter. And the rest of the year, we actually schedule it to come on in the morning to help wake us up with the great smell of essential oils. Recently, Vocalink has launched their new PureFlow, which is the first, very first, HomeKit air purifier to come to market, and the new VS1, which is a sleekly designed contact sensor. Both of them are just now hitting the market. The PureFlow and all of Vocalink's products are available on Amazon, and you can find links to all of their great HomeKit gear inside of the HomeKit Insider show notes.
Yeah, that Flower Bud looks pretty interesting. I know we have a couple oil diffusers at home, and this one looks beautiful and is HomeKit enabled. Is that right?
Yeah, I love that it's HomeKit enabled. You can schedule it. We have it ours coming on in the morning, so you can put the oil and water in it at night, and then you wake up with your alarm, you have a light coming on, you have the oil diffuser coming out, and it like smells good in the room. It's a really cool little device.
Very nice. And so they got, you know, those light bulbs, light strips, and they also have this power strip. I don't know if you have one of these, but they have a HomeKit enabled power strip with three plugs and then three USB ports.
Yeah, that's another really useful one if you have a few lights in a room, or even you just kind of want to be able to make sure they're on or off. And then I love the USB ports at the same time. Like, I've seen some from other companies that are HomeKit enabled, but they don't have those USB ports. And that's just another useful thing on there, because you don't have to use an HDMI port just to charge your devices.
Very cool. Well, you can check out all of Vocalink's products on Amazon.
Absolutely. And we'll, of course, throw up some links in the show notes.
So I have two things, two kind of mini projects to talk about. One is not so much a project, but I finally bit the bullet, and I'm going to try the expensive Lutron in-wall switch that does not require a neutral wire.
You did it.
I did it. I did hours and hours of research seeing if there was any other HomeKit switch that allows for no neutral and will work, aside from the Shakira. Yeah, and the Lutron. And I could not find anything. There was some that said, well, you need a ground, not a neutral. And it's like, listen, there's only two wires on my wall. You know, you got to help me out here. And Lutron's the only one that have worked so far. I have all the dimmer switches, but now I'm going to try the PD-5WS-DV-WH. You don't have to remember that.
Rolls off the tongue.
Just go to show notes. Yeah, or go to the post on appleinsider.com, and you can see the link. You can buy it sometimes on Amazon, but it didn't seem like it was in stock, and pricing varies widely on this particular switch. I've seen it as expensive as $90, and I've seen it down at like 60-something. I typically don't buy stuff from websites other than Amazon, Apple, and B&H, and a couple other places, but I found this website called Solid Signal. Never heard of them before. Supposedly, it's a legitimate and real company. And so I'll let you know it's supposedly shipping sometime this week. I'll let everyone know if and when it comes in. So,
okay, good.
So as I was waiting for that, I decided to finally bite the bullet because you shamed me for not having any Hue products last week.
Okay, well, you can't host a HomeKit podcast without trying Hue. I'm just saying.
Apparently not. Apparently not. So I went ahead, I bit the bullet, and I got a Hue set. So I got two things. At Home Depot, actually, the kit that includes the Hue Bridge and two of the just regular bulbs, they do change colors. And then I also got three of the decorative style, white only, no color bulbs to try in a ceiling fan. This is the whole reason why I was looking for that no neutral on-off switch, not a dimmer. So I got it all. I have to say, Philips Hue makes it really easy to set up. I connected the bridge to network switch, paired super quick. I put the three candelabra bulbs in it, and they connected very quickly. And same thing with the two colored light bulbs. I put one in a standing lamp, and then I put one in my outside light right outside my door. So technically it's outside, but it's not like outdoor, so it's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I put one all there. HomeKit saw them right away. I was able to plug them into different scenes and all that, and it's great. I have already run into the issue, though, where the switches are getting turned on and off by various family members.
That is such a frustration for Hue users and LifeX users. Can't leave them out in the cold. A lot of smart bulb users like that, but it is just a curse. I think we talked about it at length when we did the Brilliant review.
Right.
Because that's such a thing that happens all the time. People touch your light switches. I end up taping so many of them, like slapping people's hands, like, stop it.
Right. I did just get today a Lutron Aurora, which you had recommended on the last show.
Oh, highly recommended.
Yes, it is. It is with me now. I have not installed it yet. I'll be doing that as soon as I get home today. So I got one to try. I'm going to put it on because the ceiling fan that I put the smart bulbs in and the outside light, those two switches are right next to each other and they're right by the front door. So they're most likely to get flipped on and off of any switch in my house.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to put these Lutron Auroras on it, and I will give my review of that next week on the show. But as far as the three bulbs in the ceiling fan and the other two regular light bulbs, they're working great. Again, HomeKit was able to plug it in super easy, plug it into a couple scenes, even a shortcut. I have my movie shortcut, which I mentioned when I talked about the Logitech Hub HomeKit integration on the last episode. And I was able to plug the lamp that changes colors. I was able to kind of mess around with that. So that was cool. The one thing that this is not Philips Hue's issue. This is just, you know, the HomeKit versus Alexa and all that. I do have an Alexa in my living room that we all use and speak to it. You really have to set it up twice. You have to set up the Hue stuff in HomeKit / the Hue app. And then you really have to set it up in Alexa. You know, I went into the Alexa app, it sees all these devices, but honestly, I had not really spent much time organizing my different smart devices in Alexa because I just didn't use Alexa to trigger this stuff. And so I had to spend a little bit of time last night really configuring all the stuff. You know, you have to really create individual rooms just like they are in HomeKit. So I'm trying to match the room names. So if I tell Siri or if I tell Alexa, sorry, everyone, all your devices just went off. You know, whoever I tell, it's actually going to get the right room. And so I spent some time doing that. But after that, it's working great. And so whether I talk to the iOS digital assistant or the Amazon one, it works. And even the Echo, as far as the living room lamp and the outside light where I put the colored bulbs, my kids quickly discovered that you can tell it a color and Alexa will change the Philips Hue bulb color to whatever you tell it. And so they were trying many, many color combinations from lavender to turquoise and every color. And but it was kind of cool. They could just say, you know, hey, turn the thing blue and the light turns blue. And so my entire basically living room, dining room area, after I've put the ceiling fan bulbs in, it is now completely smart home. And so anytime I want to watch a movie or do anything with the living area space, I have a completely smart home set up and I can say, you know, turn off all the lights in the living room and all the lights actually turn off. I don't have to flip the ceiling fan switch and then do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. I'll update everyone as I use it over the next week. But let me ask you too, I don't know if this is ever a concern. With a ceiling fan, using those kind of bulbs in a ceiling fan light, I want to leave power on all the time so I have control over my Hue lights.
Sure.
Is there ever a concern for leaving the switch on for a ceiling fan like that all the time?
Nope, not at all. Nope.
Does it actually draw power if the lights and fan are off?
Yeah, it's going to be drawing some power because they have to still be reachable via Zigbee. But their vampire draw, their background draw is just going to be so small, it's not going to really be noticeable.
Gotcha. So it's, yeah, negligible amount of power, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Well, that was my experience again. Hue, I have to say, positive experience, you know, after seeing all the many Hue products now that I've been searching through.
I know. I actually have some Hue stuff this week that I've been working on too, funny enough.
Oh.
Everything I say apparently has to have a tangent preceding it.
Sure.
Because I immediately get questions because this is going to start off with I was disassembling my fish tank.
Okay.
To precede that, I actually had created a lid, a top for my fish tank out of wood. I created out of wood and I made a spot for a Hue light strip to go in there. I wrapped it around a couple of dowels and had it mounted inside of this box. I had a piece of reflective metal behind it to force the light downward into my fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it that way for a few years and it was great. Recently,
okay. We
got a new fish tank. I got a larger tank, a larger saltwater tank, and I'm moving everything over. And in this new tank, obviously, I'm not able to use my custom hood, my custom lighting setup any longer. So I actually disassembled my fish tank and I took out my light strip and I actually mounted it in my kitchen. I've got like an L-shaped kind of cabinet set up, as many kitchens do, and I had one long set of cabinets. For some reason, it drives me crazy when cabinets in houses like don't have lights at all underneath the cabinets. It just looks so dark on the counters when you're working, and it bothers me. It was the same way in my house, just so dark. I'm like trying to cut things. I'm like, why is it so dark in here? Or at least underneath, you know, where the cabinets block all the light. I had mounted one light strip under there, triggering it off of a motion sensor. And it's worked great, and it was actually so good that my wife was like, why don't we have one on the other side? We have one there, not one over there. I'm like, because Hue strips are like $70 a pop. That's why.
Right.
And
not cheap.
And I already had one for the fish tank. So actually, as I disassembled and cleaned that old fish tank up, I took out that light strip and mounted it in my kitchen, and now I have full underlit, you know, cabinets there, and it just looks so nice. You walk in at different times of day, comes on, you know, cooler during the days and warmer at night in different brightness settings. I absolutely love it. So that was my first project. The other one I haven't gotten to yet, and I just got a set of the, oh, what are they called? The Hue Play Bars, the smart lights, the...
Right.
They can stand up or go on their side. I picked up a pair of those to put behind my TV to go with my Hue Sync box. Also, when I moved, I didn't have any Hue lights in my living room any longer. We talked about it. I got a lot of filament bulbs in there, so I never put in my Hue lights, and I really wanted to use that sync box again, especially with the new Siri updates that we talked about last week. So I did just go and pick up a new set of play bars that are arriving today, and I'm going to be installing those and playing with my Apple TV and Dolby Vision and I'll have to pair it with the new Sonos Arc when that guy gets here too. So I'm really working on my home theater setup, my Hue stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let me ask you this, as a Hue expert, as I'm on my journey.
It's called a Huexpert.
I'm going to cut all that out. For colors and such, mm-hmm. I can see in like the home app that you can choose some colors mm-hmm. and you can kind of program like one custom color. Or am I doing this wrong? Like, what's the best way to adjust the color of Hue lights if you want to do it through the home app?
Well, okay. So there is some funniness going on here. Because, and especially when you have the white bulbs, I believe, when you have like the white bulbs, like the white ambiance or something like that, not the color, they had like this weird, I don't know if they were not exposing things correctly to HomeKit or HomeKit just wasn't reading them correctly, but whenever they would show up in my home app, I could basically turn them on and off and change the brightness, but I could not change the temperature of the bulb, like the color of white from cool to neutral to warm. You couldn't like change that. There are some ways to get around it. The main thing I would do is I would just create specific scenes that were the right color. And third-party apps also help a lot for that too, that are a little bit more robust when it comes to those things. So the Eve app or, oh gosh, whatever. It used to be called Home 4, and I can't remember what they've renamed it after a small dispute with Apple on the naming kind of rules for their app. But I've had to go through different apps to get those, to get more granular control over colors.
Gotcha.
I don't change the colors all that much. I mean, I change colors to certain scenes that I've created or based around the time of the day and stuff. So I have gotten around with like third-party apps, and then those scenes obviously show up in the home app and you can kind of go from there.
Right.
But just like for immediate control, there's no super easy way to kind of get to, you can pull up the entire color wheel. That is oddly something that's very easy to miss. If I can find a correct light here. So if I open up this one, if you tap on a light, like there's like six colors there, right?
Right.
And you tap on it and then it says edit, tap again, and you have the full color wheel. And there you can pick the color and you can change the temperature.
Right.
If you get those full color bulbs.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm also looking at this Home Plus 4 app.
That's probably what the other one was.
Yeah, and you can copy and paste like hex codes for colors
mm-hmm.
in there, which is pretty sweet. And also has a view very much like the home app, but it looks to be a little more robust, like you were saying, iconography and just more options there.
Yeah. For the free ones, I love the Eve app. For a good paid one, I've always recommended whatever it's called, Home Plus 4 now, I guess. But
yeah,
that's been a fantastic app for more granular control of everything.
And so my final question, if and when I choose to expand my Hue kingdom mm-hmm. with more lights, what would be the next kind of light you would recommend?
There's a lot. Like the Hue lineup has been getting crazy big. There's a few different things you could go with based on like what I had in my house. So I really like their outdoor light strip. I have that lighting some stairs in our backyard. That's a really nice one. Mm. I have the Lily spotlights in the front of our house. We have like an all white house, and honestly at night you can't even see it because there's no lights around us and our house just blends into the blackness. And these lights really help in making our house like stand out a little bit more. They even have the new Lily XLs that were announced at CES this year. So those are, I mean, those are really cool, and those are really fun because they're full color. So you can even change them at like, you know, holidays. So if you want to make them like orange during Halloween and then change them to red and green during Christmas, which is what we do. Like, those are a couple of cool things you can do with that. Yeah. And they also have the only HomeKit outdoor motion sensor, because all the Hue accessories work through HomeKit. They have an outdoor motion sensor, and it's the only one on the market that works outdoors, and then you can tie any of these accessories to that. So that way, as you walk up onto your porch or something like that, you can kick on all of these outdoor Hue lights. So the outdoor section has been really big for Hue. For inside your house, honestly, I think one of the best things you can do is add a light strip, because there's so many cool places you can put them, and they're just great for accent lights or additional lighting, or for, you know, at night when you don't want to turn on like your main ceiling lights. There's so many things you can do with light strips. So those have always been one of my favorite accessories to install.
Really interesting. Yeah, they even have like outdoor spots and everything. Man, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what Hue devices are laying in my future. But yeah, as far as the decorative candelabra style bulbs in my ceiling fan, plus the you know, the two regular bulbs of color. It's been a really good experience. And I'm going to try that Lutron Aurora, and I'll let everybody know next week how that goes.
Nice.
All right. So we had a listener question by email that we wanted to get to. We talked about the Logitech Circle on a recent episode, one of the first HomeKit Secure video cameras. We have the Eve Cam coming out and the Eufy coming out later this summer. The Tatmo is out there. And so this question mentioned the Arlo cameras, which I have seen the Arlos everywhere. You know, you walk into Best Buy, there's always a big Arlo display, and, you know, they're kind of touted as, you know, one of the best camera security systems. But I was never sure of the HomeKit integration and whether or not that means HomeKit Secure Video, or what does that actually mean? And you knew a lot about Arlo, so tell me about it.
I think the main question they were wondering was the wireless situation with HomeKit and what wireless cameras there are that are out there.
Right.
So there are a few different options as far as wireless HomeKit cameras. The Eufy Cam 2, actually, I believe, now supports HomeKit Secure Video, different than the Eufy Cams that we talked about above. Those are different ones. But the Eufy Cam 2 is a wireless one that is very similar to what Arlo is offering. Arlo is, I believe right now, only HomeKit support, not HomeKit Secure Video. And
right.
The wireless space in general is a little bit different with HomeKit. So HomeKit, compared to when it's running through like just a third-party device, it needs to be in like essentially constant contact with your hub. And that is a big limitation. So what that means is if you've got, the biggest example of this was probably when Logitech initially launched HomeKit on its Circle 2 cameras, because they had a wired version and a wireless version. HomeKit only came to the wired version. Because of that constant polling, it just would eat up battery life if it was trying to be on a battery. So what companies have to do, you know, Logitech in that case, there was no way of bringing HomeKit Secure or HomeKit at all to the wireless Circle 2 camera. And the wired ones that you see, or the wireless ones you see, all require some sort of bridge, whether it's the Eufy Cam 2 or the Arlo systems. That bridge essentially is the HomeKit certified device, and then you add on the camera. So that bridge is in constant communication with HomeKit and the HomeKit hub and everything, and the cameras go through that. So whenever some command comes in through the bridge, it's able to pass it on to the cameras and then back, and that's how those things kind of work out. So HomeKit Secure Video, the Eufy Cam 2 is an option. The Arlo ones are great, but they don't support HomeKit Secure Video, but they have a few other good options that I like a lot. Arlo really has a lot of smart AI-driven features, whether you're looking at the different zones or you're looking at, you know, the different detection models, like package detection and stuff like that, work really well with the Arlo cameras. So they have their own, but again, they have their own subscription service, which is kind of what the benefit of HomeKit Secure Video is. You don't need those third-party subscription services. So if you want those other features, then Arlo may be a good option because there's more than what is contained inside of HomeKit Secure Video. Arlo also has things like 2K and 4K cameras, and you do not have 2K, you do not have 4K support inside of HomeKit Secure Video. So HomeKit Secure Video is, for a lot of people, probably going to be something they're not going to be paying for. You probably already have some sort of iCloud subscription that's getting you access to that cloud recording. It doesn't count against your iCloud storage space. Everything is end-to-end encrypted. So for a lot of people, they probably don't have to pay anything extra. You're already getting that storage based on your 200 gig or like your 2 terabyte iCloud accounts for up to 5 cameras. So that's kind of the real benefit of HomeKit Secure Video, is you don't have to pay for the Arlo Smart platform or the Circle Safe platform or any of those other third-party subscription services. You just have iCloud. It doesn't count against your iCloud storage space. You get some better features like detection of a person versus a vehicle, even if they're not perfect. So it just really depends on what someone is looking for, whether or not they want the added features and added cost of the Arlo Smart platform, or if they're just okay with what HomeKit Secure Video is offering and what it hopefully will grow into as Apple adds additional features and you don't have to really pay anything extra for it.
Right. And so to reiterate what you just said to make sure that I understand and our listeners know, so if a security camera is HomeKit enabled, like the Arlo system, you'll be able to see the video feed and get notifications in the Home app, but you will need to pay for the third-party service, whether it's Canary or Arlo or Logitech's in order to get those recordings and clips, because those are being stored in the company's cloud.
Correct.
As opposed to HomeKit Secure Video, where if a camera has that enabled, then you do not have to pay for the third-party service. All the clips and video is saved in iCloud, and it is detached seemingly from the third-party cloud system that stores it all. So no monthly plan, might be limited features as compared to what Arlo will give you in their cloud, but you don't have to pay another monthly fee, and it's all in the Home app. Does that make sense?
Pretty much. Cool. And users have to decide on which one they want and which is more important. Do they want a wired or a wireless camera? And then do they want, you know, the HomeKit Secure Video, or do they want another, you know, platform's smart features? So that's really decisions that they've got to make. There's almost no options when it comes to wireless and HomeKit Secure Video. I think Eufy Cam 2, probably the only one that I know of at the moment that is wireless and supports HomeKit Secure Video, because it does have a bridge in there. You know, it's really just what you're looking for in terms of features. That's the good thing about HomeKit, is there are a lot of options out there.
Well, that question was from Bill via email, so thank you, Bill. And there's been a lot of you tweeting with the hashtag HomeKit Insider, so we appreciate that. We'll be getting some more questions in future episodes, so keep tweeting at Andrew and I and use that hashtag HomeKit Insider. You can find links to all the stuff we talked about in the show notes or on the post on appleinsider.com, and our Twitter handles and the hashtag and the email links are all in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and make sure you guys, regardless of which platform you're on, it would be great if you guys could leave us some feedback. So Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, write us a review so you know, or we know, how we are doing and how we can shape this podcast going forward. We love to talk to you guys, hear how your smart home platforms, what tips you guys want to share. We're getting so much of the stuff already through Twitter and everything else. I'm just really excited to see how this continues to play out and what you guys are doing out there in the HomeKit world.
Well, thanks for tuning in to HomeKit Insider. Can't wait to catch you next week.
See you guys.